This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Syria and its nearly decade-long civil war has been the subject of countless news stories and foreign policy debates in recent years. In 2003, Shaftesbury photographer Kevin Bubrisky started documenting what would become some of the final images of pre-war Syria. His stark black-and-white pictures of the architecture, places, and people of Syria are collected in a new book called Legacy in Stone, Syria Before the War. Yesterday, I spoke with Bubrisky and also with Amr al-Azam. Al-Azam is a professor of Middle East history and anthropology at Shawnee State University in Ohio. He wrote the introduction to the book and has been working to preserve Syria's cultural history, and he knows the story of what has happened to all the places Bubrisky photographed more than 15 years ago. I asked Bubrisky if he had any sense of what might happen to Syria and the buildings and monuments he was photographing back in 2003.
I didn't think of it as in jeopardy, but I'd spoken with Bill Darrow, a professor at Williams College, who had traveled quite a bit in Syria. And he was the one who initially told me about the brilliant Byzantine architectural works scattered throughout the landscape. So I worked with a writer friend, Lou Werner, to put together a couple of assignments to get us to Syria so that we could see what Syria looked like for ourselves, but also to tell stories that were a counterpoint to what was going on next door in Iraq.
At the time, clearly people were seeing what was happening in Iraq and wondering about some of these other countries. Amr, can you talk a little bit about what has happened to the cultural heritage of Syria in the last 5 or 6 years?
The conflict in Syria has been a very traumatic experience, not just for the people of Syria, but also for its cultural heritage, which became a casualty of war from quite early on when, in 2011, the protests started and they were supposed to be peaceful. They were met with extreme repression and brutality by the regime. But then as we went in from 2011 to 2012, the entire nature of this conflict changed to one of a military confrontation between an armed opposition and the regime. And that's when war really started, and that's when cultural heritage started to become a real casualty of war along with the rest of the country, its people, etc. The sites were becoming part of this very extensive battlefield across Syria, but also becoming casualties through the extensive looting that was happening to many of these sites. If you compare satellite images, for example, or photos from sites taken before 2012, and then you look at those satellite images, for example, in a site like Apameh in western Syria, the contrast is incredible. These massive sites are turned into basically Swiss cheese. They're just pits, and it gets worse after 2013 when ISIS and Daesh take over. And then you have this new level of destruction, both in terms of the looting, where now ISIS decides that cultural heritage is a resource to be exploited. So we see an intensification, not just an intensification of the looting, but also it becomes industrialized. It becomes this revenue-raising system that they have through issuing licenses, through actively being involved in the looting themselves. And then finally, we have the culmination of this orgy of violence against cultural heritage with cultural heritage atrocities. So ISIS then starts to destroy major sites, monuments like the Temple of Bel.
Kevin, can you tell me about photographing the souk in Aleppo? Let's hone in on one area and talk a little bit about that part in particular.
Sure. I was working with an American writer friend, Lou Werner, who speaks Arabic, and we had a local Aleppo helper or two. And we were doing a story to tell the stories of individual shop owners. And so I was the photographer, and then there was a story about each individual. And we basically wandered the souk for about a week or more, figuring out who we wanted to photograph. One of my favorite images is the rope maker. And he's just in a cubbyhole shop with a couple dozen varieties of rope pieces around him. Aleppo was a thriving, exciting place to be. And the souk was just vibrant, extremely vibrant and filled with people. It was easy to get lost. We really would get lost on any given day without our minders and our helpers. And apparently most of the Aleppo souk has now been destroyed by the war.
Some parts of these souks date back to the 12th century, and they've been in continuous use from then till now, or until the very recent, until the modern period. And these are not museum pieces, even though they're this old. These are not sort of places that tourists can visit to look at as part of history. These are actually living, breathing, functioning markets, continuing to do the kind of business and work they've always been intended to do. And that's what makes these places so important and remarkable, because they're part of the fabric of society. Hundreds, if not thousands, of families make their living from working in these little tiny cubbyholes generation after generation. And this is part of the Alpine society and the fabric of that society. So when those souks were destroyed, and by the way, they were destroyed punitively by the regime who shelled those souks at the beginning of the war in 2012, they not only destroyed stones and structures and buildings, they actually destroyed a very important part of Alpine culture and that society. So the loss is catastrophic, not just in the monument sense, but also on the personal sense, on the social, economic, the glue that binds that society together. And you may be able to rebuild some of that back, but you won't be able to bring back the families and the people that have been killed, the businesses that have been destroyed or have had to move away. That's going to be much harder to bring back. And so the damage to the fabric of that society, I think, is much, much deeper and much harder to heal.
Amr, can you talk a little bit about what the dead cities are? Because we go from a very urban, very alive and active area, and then the dead cities, also not dead, certainly alive, but a very different feel.
The dead cities is a group of sites, villages, and towns dating back to the late Roman Byzantine era, 3rd, 4th century AD. But what is remarkable about them is that they've basically been incredibly well preserved. Remnants of churches, cathedrals, villas, homes, businesses, etc., all built out of local cut stone and an amazing sight to see. And again, unfortunately, many of these have suffered grievous damage as a result of the conflict. So, for example, the site of St. Simeon, this is where St. Simeon of Stylites was supposed to have spent 20 years atop this column. It's a Christian site, and he was a Christian saint. And in 2016, I believe, the site was struck twice by Russian Air Force and almost completely destroyed now, unfortunately.
Kevin, can you tell me, he said that the Church of St. Simeon had been destroyed, and I think I heard you audibly groan. Is that news to you?
Yes. I knew that there'd been damage at St. Simeon, and I knew that ISIS had removed the remaining piece of the pillar that the saint would stand on. On page 89 of the book, there's what's called the Remains of the Saints column. And you see it's a boulder, maybe 5 feet across, 4 or 5 feet across. And the reason it's so small in this picture is because souvenir hunters, people who revered who St. Simeon was, chipped away pieces over the centuries to take home as a blessing, whatever. But then when ISIS came in, apparently they dragged what was left. And then it was news to me just now from Amr that there were Russian airstrikes at the Basilica.
So when you hear that more is lost than you thought, it's not your cultural heritage, but it seems like you feel something. You feel a strong emotion, a connection.
Yes. There was a strong emotion in 2003 to walk among these ruins and in solitude. There were no tourists. I think at Palmyra, the remarkable site of Palmyra, there was maybe one or two handfuls total of German or Russian tourists. The Basilica of St. Simeon, when I was there, there were no tourist kiosks. There were no tour buses. That was my intent in 2003. After I photographed Aleppo, I really wanted to give myself time to go to these other sites I'd heard about and read about in Ross Burns's book. And then to be there in the solitude in that November light was remarkable. I couldn't have been happier as a photographer. That's what makes a photographer happy, something remarkable happening in front of the lens.
I assume you also then hope that those of us who are in North America looking at this, if we don't have some personal connections, can sort of separate ourselves from this or distance ourselves from the destruction that's happening in other parts of the world. But I imagine you hope that we too feel something looking at these photos.
Exactly. That can be one of the powers of photography, is photographs can take you from where you are to a place in deep history or to a remote corner of the world or to an incredible event that happened somewhere, a good event or bad event. That's the power of the documentary tradition of photography, is to create a visual bridge that then can trigger a larger understanding of diversity of the curious world we live in.
I'd love for you to talk a little bit about your work in Syria today to protect monuments, because so far from what we've talked about, there doesn't seem to be left anything to protect. So what are you doing?
In 2014, I established something with a group of colleagues of mine. We call the Heritage Protection Initiative. It's part of the Day After organization that I'm part of. And we essentially, through this initiative, were able to help coordinate the activities of these networks of local activists, local archaeologists, local museum curators in these areas that are now or still are, were then and continue to be in some cases outside regime control, to help them coordinate their activities, to provide them with resources. Records like Kevin's are really the only remaining connection we have with these sites. In future times, you know, Syrians will, and others will be able to look at images and photographs like those provided for us by Kevin, and they'll be able to wonder in amazement at what was there and obviously lament at what we've lost.
That was Middle East history expert Amr al-Azam and Shaftesbury photographer Kevin Bubrisky talking about Bubrisky's new book of photographs, Legacy in Stone, Syria Before the War.